Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you right another time.
This highway
does not know my name, and I don't care.
Nope, I don't
care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live. We're doing it not so live once again from the LBL Bar and Grill. Bar and Bunker here in beautiful Middle Tennessee. And we're back in the LBM Bar and Grill. And it's so good to see all you lowlifers out there. This is the podcast for Monday, May the 3rd. And if you're just tuning into this program for the first time, you're like, lowlifer, wait a second. Wait a second. You're throwing shade my way. You are insulting me. No, no, sir or ma'am. You are now a lowlifer. If you have tuned in to Low Budget Live, that is what the listeners of this fine program refer to themselves as. A lowlifer. So welcome. Welcome to the lowlifer life. Hope you enjoy it. Some people do, some people don't. But the low life just kind of finds you. It's just kind of finds you. So welcome to Low Budget Live. That is a song called Biloxi Blues that we intro every week with, written by me, sung by me. Still get a lot of comments about that. Thank you all for listening to Low Budget Live and Biloxi Blues. Been a my brain is like scrambled eggs today. So if this is all over the place more than usual, then, you know, I apologize. It has been 2 weeks of insanity from NPFL to the Bassmaster Open down at Pickwick, and we're going to talk about all of it and then some. Got a great guest today. It's going to be a lot of fun here on LBL, and I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And I also want to say thanks to our sponsors. Going to kick it off with that today. Got to say a big shout-out right here to the folks from Startron Starbright, kicking ethanol in the teeth and bringing you Low Budget Live for going on 4 years now. Startron, a little dab will do you in your tank. Get rid of ethanol in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, in your three-wheeler, like Fat Cat Newton said, in his log splitter. But nothing ruins a good day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run because of stupid, dumb ethanol. So drop you some Startron in there. Kick ethanol in the teeth. Starbright cleaning products also, keeping you looking fresh and clean out on the water. There's one I used the other day. We've got this old boat that my brother and I are doing some work on. Seats are mildewed like crazy. Their mildew, like, stain remover does just what it says it's going to do. Like, you can get that, like, Walmart, Bass Pro Shops, wherever. Like, you see it all over the place. But killer stuff. So, Startron, Starbright, bringing you Low Budget Live. Very thankful for that. The folks at Sims, who, I'm telling you right now, Sims this week, MVP. MVP of the Bassmaster Open for me, because we had hellacious weather the first day. We had some rain that was just stupid and sideways and a big old front, and had the pro dry on, and it was awesome, man. It was the worst rain I've been in since I've had that suit. Completely blown away. I was bone dry. And then they came in super clutch just because of the Solar Flex hoodies. I'm digging those so much. And during practice, super hot weather, you know, mid 80s, had the hood on. I love the long sleeves and the hood. I am I'm not just a dude. I don't just wear t-shirts a lot fishing. I like those. If you never tried like a long sleeve fishing shirt like that Solar Flex, give it a try, man. Like, there a lot of people are like, man, long sleeves, it's hot. No. The material's so breathable. That hood, I don't like a buff around my face that much. I have been wearing one, a Sims one, more lately, but kind of a combo to keep my nose covered up, but my neck gets roasted. And I like that lightweight hood. I wear it a lot. So the Solar Flex hoodie, go check them out. Sims Fishing Products. And I'm here to remind all of you lowlifers, you get one life. Fish it well. The folks from Pro Guide Batteries bringing you LBL this year as well. And powering up the Express with those 31 series AGMs. And once again, I say it week in and week out, I'm blown away by these batteries. And this week was no exception because I stood on them, boy. Long, long practice days there at the Open. And I could not be more impressed with those Pro Guide batteries. And if you would like to try them out, a lot of you have been messaging me about these, which is awesome. And Pro Guide was telling me a lot of folks are using the LBL code. But you can use code LBL10, LBL the number 10, to get a 10% discount over there at ProGuideBatteries.com. So go check those out. Appreciate that. And last but not least, look! I got the banner hanging. What is going on in the world? Huh? Yeah. Got the banner hung up. Hang the banner. So I did it. For all you that complain in the comments, there it is. It's a very large Express Boats banner. But Express Boats, the official boat of Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus and all the Luke Duncan fishing exploits. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, everybody that sees this boat freaks out. Everybody that gets in it freaks out. And my partners, my two co-owners are like, one of them drives a brand new Skeeter. And on day two, he's like, I'm fixing to buy one of these boats. So cool. Young man I drew the first day, and I'm going to get to a story about him here in a second. But young man I drew the first day is like, man, this is what me and my dad need. This is, and I think they run a Skeeter as well, but Texas boy. But it's just, man, I put it to the test this week. I mean, when I tell you, we went out of Pickwick Dam in this tournament. I ran 52 miles one way each day up to the other dam. By the end of the day, you know, I made my way there. So over 100 and something miles each day because I stopped and ran up little creeks and different things on the way, burning a ton of gas, burning, you know, just burning it down, but leaving no stone unturned on the home lake. But we had crazy winds. We had a lot of just different conditions every single day. And I'm telling you right now, I know the perception of aluminum boats, man. I'm telling you right now, that X21 is my favorite bass boat that I've ever been in, hands down. The sea deck's freaking amazing. I love the Yamaha show. Great fuel economy. And you know, I want to say something. Jason Christie, the one and only Jason Christie, had me all spun out because of his fuel mileage. Because we have 40 gallons in the Express. We're going to have more next year, what I'm hearing. But we got 40 gallons. It's a lot of dang fuel. You know, it's a lot of fuel. But a lot of the fiberglass boats do have like 50, 55, whatever. So Jason had his NEMA hooked up from his Yamaha to his Garmin's and all. Y'all heard it right here on LBL. He freaked me out so bad. I was like, man, I ain't got any of that. So I went and ran around before I left to go to the MPFL just to check, you know, mileage. Dude, I ran like 50-something miles. I only burned like 13 gallons of gas. So I don't know what Jason was thinking, but I think he was going a lot further than he thought he was. I was able to, you know, the first day of the tournament, I was able to run dam to dam and a few other spots and made it back with like 8 gallons of gas to spare. So super impressed by the fuel economy of the show, super impressed by the boat's speed, by the boat's, you know, the way it handles in rough water, windy conditions. The thing is awesome. I don't have any complaints whatsoever. And I want to thank Express for bringing you excitement since 1966 and bringing you Low Budget Live. But super cool. You know, speaking of Express, moving on to Pickwick Lake, Bassmaster Open. So many of y'all reached out, and I appreciate that. Met several lowlifers this week at the weigh-ins and things, but got to see like my man Triple H, Harvey Horn. I got to see Zeke Gossett. Some of the Express teammates were there at the Open, and that's cool. You know, it's cool seeing those other Expresses running around and being a part of that. You know, super awesome. Of course, you know, we'll just jump right in. I'm disappointed. You know, that's the only way I can put it. Every tournament you go in, I know it's silly to say, oh, I want to win. you do want to win every one of them, but there are only certain ones where you think you have an opportunity. And this was one that I certainly felt like I had an opportunity to win last week. Not just because it was home, but the kind of the way things were lining up, you know, the way the fish were setting up. It seemed to be a little tougher in practice on a lot of people. Of course, they're all liars, and they blasted them. The lake really showed out way more than I thought it was going to for last week, April, because normally, historically, it's a lot tougher than that. And we were all saying, you know, 2 weeks earlier or 2 weeks later, this would have been a different tournament. And that is very true. But fishing's been all over the place around here this year because of the weather and things. But this is one that I really felt like I had a chance. And I've been putting my time in. And, you know, I said leaving for that tournament that for me, it was a top 10 or bust. And, you know, I'm not as worried about the points and these things as I always was with FLW, right? Like, you're always either trying to requalify or you're trying to make the cup or whatever. You're just focused on points. And I'm not I won't say I'm not an aggressive fisherman, right, tournament-wise. Like, I'm a guy that and I think that shows, obviously, but I am really good in tough events. A lot of times I can deal with not getting a few bites, but I'm not a guy that's going to weigh the 22 to 25, 28 pound bags. Like I've just, you know, I've weighed them at home. I've had opportunities to do that on tour and things, but I'm just not that guy. I don't swing like that a lot. And, you know, I've always tried to be as consistent as I can be. And so I went in with a totally different mindset for this event, and I practiced differently than I normally would. And as far as just the areas and things, and I just wrote things off that if I was down there fun fishing, I might go do, right? Just to get bites and things. But I wrote all that off, and I focused on areas that I thought and I know in my heart were going to be big fish areas and, you know, give me the best chance to win. And, you know, I put in a lot of time, but leading up to it, I had to go to Wright Patman for the MPFL out there. And so we did that. Got home on Saturday night, start practice on Sunday, and getting there Sunday, I had a grass stretch that really had been playing for really since the winter, to be honest. And I rolled in there, caught me a 5, caught me a 3, and I caught one off a shad spawn. And I was worried because of our colder nights leading up that the shad spawn would not play. Well, I pulled up Sunday morning, was a little late getting there, and I found shad spawn. So I knew shad spawn was going to be a player. And when it plays on Pickwick, it is absolutely amazing. Like, it just is. So I spent the majority of my practice mornings looking for a shad spawn. And I came out of practice with about 10 spots that had a great shad spawn and had big fish on. Like, I was getting bit on a big spinnerbait. Very comfortable doing that. It's one of my favorite things to do. And so I was super confident in that morning, but I knew that if that morning bite didn't play, it was going to get tougher, right? So me being also a dam fisherman, a river rat my whole life, love fishing current. Y'all see my smallmouth pictures. I love fishing for smallmouth. So I wanted to mix that in as well. And so Tuesday, I went and checked some of that, and I had a great afternoon smallmouth fishing. Had some big bites. I shook them off, saw a couple, raised them up kind of deal with no hook. And with a hook rolled over anyways, and just felt like it was all falling into place. I couldn't make any of my deep stuff work, but I knew it was coming. I knew there were going to be guys. There were a lot of guys out there graphing around. I knew that stuff was going to play. It just wasn't playing for me. So I decided leaving practice, it was going to be shad spawn for me and hope to catch either a big bag doing that in the morning, which several guys did, or catch a couple of key fish and then piece it together with my grass fish and, you know, my tail race current smallmouth fish. So, you know, those patterns, which were, you know, 25 miles apart and dam to dam, you know, basically in between. I also want to throw back, I had a stretch of docks that I had that's historically one of my favorite stretches that they spawn on later like this, that I had some really good bites on, shook them off too in practice, and had that in the back of my head too. Was kind of, you know, going to wait. First day it was stormy, so I didn't really want to, but I knew I could catch some on those docks if need be. So day one rolls up. I draw a young man by the name of Colton Goolsby. Colton was awesome young man from Texas, high school man, His mom drove him out, and it was cool. Brought him to the hotel to meet with me 4:30 in the morning. His mom shows up, and I couldn't help but smile. And she didn't know this, but my mom did a lot of things like that. So it was very special to see his mom bring him out, and it definitely choked me up a little bit, you know, and made me smile because my mom, his dad is a super, you know, fan of his and loves tournament fishing, but his mom took off work to bring him to this tournament because his dad couldn't, and that was very cool. And Colton told me that when they were driving out, his mom was like, "Oh, who do you hope you get to fish with?" And I was one on his list that he hoped he got to fish with. So very cool, and very, very cool. Colton was a respectful young man. He tells me he had never caught a smallmouth bigger than a pound and a half. And I said, "Well, you're going to break that today, young man." Well, Colton ended up weighing him 3 smallmouth in on day one. He caught a 4-pounder with me, and this is PB. So we're pumped about that. Weighed in 3 for 8 pounds. Colton ended up finishing the tournament 15th place. So congrats to Colton on the co-angler side. Awesome. Good fisherman and got his head on straight. And it was awesome to spend a day in a boat with him on day one there. But Colton got to see me lose a smallmouth between 5 and 6 pounds and almost throw up. And I didn't say any cuss words. So we're all good there. So that first day, I draw out with Colton, started on my shad spawn. And my shad are not doing their thing. And I drew boat 113 out of 225, which a lot of boats. And I didn't, you know, I really didn't think I was going to be able to get on anything. I was super frustrated, bummed out when I got the text 113 because I won an early draw, at least on day one. And I just couldn't, I got on everything I wanted to get on. No excuses. I could not make those fish fire. Finally catch like a 3-pounder. And by like 8:30, I just got the one. And I'm like, ugh, you know. Go to my grass, though, and I catch 3 more keepers, one of which being a 5-pounder on my grass stretch as it storms and rains and blah, blah, blah. End up running up to the dam, and I've got recap video of all this stuff you guys can watch. I hope I got some good stuff. But anyways, ran up to the dam and was able to hook a giant up there, truly legit 5 to 6, have it almost in my hands. Just pops right off. And I've never, it was one of the lowest of lows because I already had a 5, I had a 3, had a couple other decent fish, and I knew that was going to push me towards almost 20. And that's the pace I wanted to be on. And man, it almost sunk my battleship. I'm not going to lie, but I was like, you know what, man, you're doing the right thing to get bit. Just get back in there. It's light line, it's smallmouth, it is what it is. And I ended up at the same time I got that one hooked. Colton's like, "I got one, Luke, 4-pounder. When he gets it to the boat, there are a couple more with it. So it gave me confidence to stick it out. I ended up catching a 4, another one over 3, and culling up to my 17 pounds. That ended up weighing, that had me in 16th the first day. Also, on the way back, I stop on this deep spot, throw a David Allen hair jig in there. I saw like 6 fish on the Garmins, and we're running almost late. Roll up. And dump a big one, like truly pulls me into a stump, comes off. I throw a 6-inch C20 out there. I catch another one that makes a small cull, run to weigh in. Make it back with 10 freaking seconds to spare. 10 seconds to spare. And I'm going to tell you about this real quick. So in FLW, when the boat is off pad, you are in. You are counted in. In Bass, Bassmaster Opens, Bassmaster Elites, until the key fob is in the net, you are not in. They were sitting on a dock well within sight of this no wake zone. So when I shut it down, I did not know that. I missed that somewhere. My fault. And I'm getting up there and I'm seeing, and I can see the panic in my man's face. And I'm like, "Oh no, what? No, I'm good. I was here like, you know, I had to be in at 3:40. I'm like, I'm good." Pull up and he's like, you got to come on. I'm like, "What?" And so I ask him and he's like, "Yeah, until that's in the net, you're not in." I made it with 10 seconds to spare. So whew, almost disaster, which is kind of, you know, my life a lot of the time. So sitting in 16th, it was awesome. Getting to be on stage again and holding up some fish for James Overstreet was really cool. First Bassmaster Open I've fished like 17 years, first bass event in 17 years. So very cool. And in the day, and just know, you know, I got to do it again. And I figured if I could catch 17, 18 the next day that I would make the top 10 and be able to go fishing, which was my goal all week. Felt like I had taken myself out of contention for a win by losing that one fish, but it was what it was. And day two, man, same boat number. I was right in the middle. So I drew 113 again. I started on a different shad spawn. Shad were gone. Ran around to several shad spawn places that I've been catching them, and I got the pick of all of them. They were gone. Fish and shad were gone. Finally catch a small keeper. Then I go fish my grass stretch. No bueno. Not a bite. And this is a stretch where I did a lot of my damage the day before. Couldn't catch them. Slowed down. Couldn't catch them. And just very frustrating. So I ran to the dam. Soon as I pull up, I lose a 4 and a 3 pound smallmouth. Soon as I get there, one of them jumps eye level. The other comes up, rolls, pulls off. Just stupid, man. Stupid. And then I catch like 3 more, just barely 15 inch keepers, a spot and 2 smallmouth up there, and just keep pushing it. Cause those, I had this one stretch that, a current break deal that these big smallmouth were on. Wasn't as much current, but I just kept forcing it, man. Because I felt like that was my best opportunity after the grass fish didn't bite. Anyways, decided to get gas and make a long run. I finally, I left up there like 1, and I ran like 45 minutes all the way back to Bear Creek and went in Bear and was able to finish a limit and cull one, but I only had a little under 10 pounds, but checked like 2 places, and the second place I got on in Bear, I was able to. But I fished to the last minute, and I pulled up and made it back to Wayne with like 3 minutes to spare. So worked hard. Yeah, I literally made a cull as I was leaving up there. Caught a 3-pounder and was able to get to what I got to. Ended up finishing 62nd. It is what it is. Out of 225, you know, I was very happy with my decisions. I just, you know, you don't understand sometimes why things don't work out. But huge congrats to Joey Nanai. Joey works very, very, very hard in the sport and has been at those opens for a while now. Him and his family are a staple out there. He's a guy down at Logan Martin, great guy. And reading about his pattern, very similar to things I was doing, and something he slowed down, man. He said he'd been catching on chatterbaiting, which I had, been catching on shad spawn, slowed down, went to a shaky head, and a Carolina rig was dragging it around, and I did not make those adjustments. So I saw Joey a lot in practice, saw him a lot during the event. But so he was in the area that I pegged to be the winning area, and he figured it out. So congrats to Joey, huge, huge win, classic bound, man, and obviously trying to make those elites like so many others in those opens. But here are my takeaways for my first Bassmaster Open in several years. First of all, I want to say a huge, huge thank you to like the Bass staff and Chris Bowes. Those guys run an amazing event, And it was weird because it's a big tournament in these COVID times, and they really, you know, were adhering to that. Smaller flights, got you in and out, no waiting for bags. Like it was so smooth, man. I couldn't get over it. You know, tournament briefing is a video briefing, registration's a breeze. Like it was awesome. They run an incredible event. Those guys are pros, and I want to thank them for being that because it was very cool to be a part of it. Looking very much forward to the next one. Other takeaways, those fields in those things are huge. 225 is a lot of damn people, okay? It's a lot of people to fish against. And for them to only take 3 guys to the elites, man, that's, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that after seeing, I mean, elites, like it's like the top of the sport. I get it. But, man, and I know they got to keep that field size small. That's their goal. But, damn, 3 out of 225. Ultimately, they're taking 12, you know, as a whole. But it's a lot of freaking people. I'm a little disappointed that it only pays 40 places out of 225. I'd like to see them dip a little further down. I understand why they don't. But that's, you know, the payout's not great in those opens. It is very much a you know, it's a gauntlet, man. If you're trying to make the elites, and there are so many guys out there fishing all the divisions, trying to get there, just shows how important getting to that elite level is for so many people. And just, good God, murderer's row, man. Anything from elite guys to just amazing fishermen from all over the country. So many folks. But and then you got the co-angler aspect, right? And some guys had co-anglers and some didn't. So co-anglers definitely affect the outcome of the event. They can, for sure, and that's interesting too, but because they did not have enough co-anglers. But overall, super positive, And I wish I was in more of them. I wish I was fishing the northerns as well, just because those lakes, there are a lot of really good lakes on those. And but getting to see everybody, man, saw so many old friends, made some new friends, and one buddy that stayed next to me at the hotel, Mr. Charlie Hartley. Y'all know Charlie out there. Charlie, Fish the Elite Series, just great dude, super positive. But as I gripe about all these things, Charlie and I were having a great conversation in the parking lot. And he said, you know, Luke, one thing that can fix every complaint that fishermen have, every one of them, when it comes to do with tournaments and payouts and this, that, and other, catch more fish. He said, whether it's you ain't got enough sponsors, catch more fish. So good. Like, I had to share that with y'all. Hope Charlie didn't mind, but he's like, catch more fish. So as I go, man, I wish they paid more places. And not because I would have gotten a check, but just I feel like, you know, guys spend a lot of money to be in those opens, and it would be nice to see it dip a little further down, right? But catch more fish. Getting that top 40. But awesome week. And, you know, we'll take it. It is what it is, but we'll take it. Could not be more impressed with all my equipment, rods, reels, you know, got to really just send it this week. And man, it felt good to be back in the saddle. And thank you to so many of y'all. Comments on the podcast, comments on social media, comments in person, just lowlifers for days. And just I can't describe to y'all how that feels. So I really appreciate that. And I did feel like I was fighting for all of us. I'll be honest, low lifers. And I heard that so much this week, but just so thank you. Congrats again to Joey Nanai on a great, great win. All right. I'm going to reset a camera real fast. My buddy Chris Mitchell is going to see me do that and say, I thought you were switching cameras. Oh, I'm trying to get on the new camera bag, but this week's, like I said, it's been a little crazy. Moving on. So I missed a lot, right? Missed a ton being at Wright Patman for MPFL. Awesome event. Congrats to Keith Carson there. Wright Patman is fantastic, man. What a great fishery that the MPFL unveiled to the bass fishing world. Awesome getting to do that with Dudley. Of course, last week's podcast, Dudley and Fat Cat, appreciate all the comments on that. One of my favorite episodes ever, and so many of y'all echoed that. Just letting loose with those guys. Of course, we recorded that on Friday night, so we didn't get to talk about who won. Didn't get to talk about who won the Elite, who won the FLW, anything like that. But want to thank those guys again for doing that. But awesome time last week at that event, or week before last, and coverage I felt like went way better this time as far as technically. We didn't have as many hiccups, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun hanging with those guys, really, really starting to know a lot of the anglers and get to know personalities and things on the MPFL side of things. So pretty awesome. But again, congrats to Keith Carson on a win, and another aluminum boat win, ladies and gentlemen. Another aluminum pro win this freaking year. So when I left there, I come home, there was something going on, and so many of you messaged me about this. And I talked out about these tournaments when they were first announced, because I kind of, you know, it's a good opportunity, but at the same time, just didn't agree with some of the ways they got to where they got to. But these Bass Pro Shops Opens, going for the Johnny Morris U.S. Open, Lake Mead. Holy hell, did y'all hear about this? So this tournament, they tried to have it on Saturday, tried to have it on Sunday. They kept having to move it because of the wind and weather. And Lake Mead gets incredibly rough. On Monday, like over 100 boats stick around for this deal. A lot of them in Bass Trackers, Nitros, different things. Of course, it's an owner's event, right? And to my knowledge, the tournament director did not want to send them. Bass Pro made the decision to send these anglers. Terrible weather, terrible wind, rough. In these events, you can go normally to your 2 year, like the Okeechobee one, you could go to your starting spot and just sit there and wait on lines in, right? They decided it would be a good idea to do a shotgun start. Shotgun start. Not boat number three, boat number four. Shotgun. Hey, guys, line up. All 100 of you are going to go tearing off into the Lake Mead four-footers and go. And at the blast-off, three boats got swamped. Three. There's a video floating around of a nitro bouncing on the damn rocks at the freaking takeoff, man. Not good. Not good. Trying to like square peg and round hole it, man. Sometimes it just ain't. I don't know. So that happens. And then so they were going out of a federal park where the tournament was being hosted. The people over the park decide, you're not having this tournament. So then they text everyone and tell them to come back in after they got out there. Some folks not getting the message until like late in the day because of spotty cell phone service. So damn it, Bobby, or damn it, Johnny, I guess I should say. But Lord have mercy, Bass Pro Shop open number two for the Johnny Morris Grand Finale Championship up there at Table Rock. Didn't go so great. But I had so many people reach out to me about the, like, look at this, sending me videos. Holy crap, but I missed that. That happened in between MPFL and the Bass Open. So had to talk about that a little bit. I mean, y'all comment below what you think about it. If you were there, if you know somebody that was a part of it, let us know. Let all the low-lifer nation out there know. But holy crap, that was a hot mess, as they say. But we missed that one. Just an overall shit show all the way around, sounded like. Gotta say, a huge congrats to my buddy Lee Livesey. Gonna get Lee back on here very soon to talk about his historic day. 42 freaking pounds. I was practicing, and buddy's mine, are you watching Bass Live? What's going on? And unfortunately, my service wasn't good enough down on Pickwick, and I was focused up, right? And I missed all of that live. If I'd have been home, I'd have been watching every minute of it. But 42 pounds on top water. Lee, y'all heard him on here last fall when he won Chickamauga, had him on. Cooler than the other side of the pillow, but just a solid, solid human, man. And like I say on here all the time about Lee in particular, when you have Whiskey Myers and Michelob Ultra as a sponsor, I mean, you're already the coolest cat in the world. When you're sponsored by a band and beer, you're just already, you know, ahead in my book. I'm going to text our guest. So I really think that that event, man, and we were on top of them at 4 o'clock, I mean, at Patman, like we talked about last week with Dudley and the Big Cat, but we were right on top of them and scheduled, you know, just, and they were, man, they caught some bigs. We caught bigs at Wright Patman, but Fork is just a special fishery, man. For it to get pummeled, and it does indeed get pummeled. Local pressure, all that, just absolutely stands up to it, though. And you see those weights. I mean, a 40-pound bag. Shout out to Patrick Walters, who apparently just is not going to turn loose of AOY except to anybody but like Seth Fighter. Man, it's going to be a – they're duking it out. But catches over 30 the last day, and then Livesey's like, no. This is my house. 42 pounds. Just incredible, man. I wish he could have beat the Rojas record. I think that would have been awesome, especially on topwater. That would have been really cool, and especially because Dean doesn't fish bass anymore. I think it would be cool to, you know, see one of the quote, new guys on that five fish record. Would have been really, really cool. But came freaking close, man. Came really close, especially a post-spawn event, basically, a late spawn, early post-spawn event, shad spawn, 42 pounds. Are you freaking kidding me right now? On a lake that they get pummeled on, man. So congrats to Lee on that. Just absolutely amazing dub for Lee Livesey. And another young man that got a dub last week, Matt Becker. Congrats to Matt on the MLFLW Big Five, former FLW Tour, RIP FLW. win. He finally, got him one. It's been coming, you know, since he first started out there, dude. He's just been, all around it. So consistent. Such a fish catcher. And on that note, he's our guest today. And he has won over $440,000 with MLFLW. In a very short time frame, he has two wins, one a Toyota Series on Thousand Islands, which he's a smallmouth guy, and this most recent win coming at Lake Murray against a field of stacked anglers, BPT guys, and the amazing FLW guys that, just absolutely catch them all the freaking time. And he is, in my opinion, one of the sport's brightest stars, up-and-comers, if you can even say that. He's not very up and coming now. But ladies and gentlemen, Matt Becker.
Luke Duncan.
What's up, brother? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Not as good as you, I have a feeling. I mean, you got a big trophy now and a little extra, like $135,000 in extra spending cash floating around. But dude, it's how does that feel?
You know, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, that's all pretty good for sure.
Dude, you know, I was looking, because I feel like I know you and just being around you on tour and stuff for a couple years, but it's like, dude, you've not been doing this a long time. Like, you haven't been at all, and to have amassed the earnings that you have already in your young career and now to have that first, quote, big win, dude, that's got to feel good, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was questioning if I could win. You know, I knew I was a good, consistent angler, but I wasn't positive that I had what it takes to actually win. You know, I knew I could stay at the top of the standings and cash checks, but, you know, to win I felt like was a whole different level, and it's just like a whole different world, a whole lot of weight off my shoulders, if you will, now that we finally got it done.
Do you think now, with that being said, that winning will be easier now because you've been there and tasted it? Like, does that, because we see this with guys all the time, right? You see guys that are very consistent and we see guys that are closers. Now that you've closed it out, man, do you think you will approach tournaments any differently, I guess is what I'm getting at?
I'm not going to plan on it, that's for sure. You know, I'm just going to do what I do and just, you know, see where that puts me. You know,
absolutely.
I definitely, you know, learned a lot about myself and about, you know, fishing 4 days and that kind of stuff. You know, every time you fish a tournament, you learn something.
No
so
doubt.
Obviously the more you do it, you know, the better you're going to get at it. And having that experience now definitely going to help going forward. I hope we can make a habit of it. You know, that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, well, I commented that on your Instagram. It's the first of many, and I saw several other people said that, man, you have been – you came onto the scene and were very impressive, very poised, very professional. I mean, when you first hit the tour, you were one of these, you know, young guys that you just got it. Like, they're just guys that get it, that get the whole thing. I've said that about Patrick Walters. He's a guy that came on, was very successful in every venture he had in the fishing industry at every level, but he comes in as almost like a seasoned vet. And you always had that feel to you when I was around you, like, man, this guy just gets it. And I'm so proud for you, man, to see you hold up all those big trophies.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I'm glad I come off that way, because there's definitely times where I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I just tried to stay calm and pretend I've been there before. But shoot, I mean, on the inside, it's not always like that.
it definitely, you know, I always say the big cardboard checks – and the name at the top of the standings looks a lot easier than it actually is for guys, oh, yeah. You know, to say the least. But talk about how – this was something that hit me today. I was like, you got – because you're a smallmouth dude. Like, you post on your Instagram story, oh, I'm out here at Erie again today. Just caught my 47th one over 7 pounds. Like, it's crazy. It drives me nuts. Every year I see this, you go on this epic trip right after ice gets out of there, I feel like. And you're like, oh, wait, oh, yeah. There's another seven guys and six. And we've caught 38 pounds. I hope you guys down south are having fun chasing those two-pound smallmouth. But you're a smallmouth guy, Pennsylvania guy, through and through. Did it surprise you for your first win to be on a blueback lake?
At the time it did, but you know, now that I've had a week or so to reflect on it, it actually didn't, you know, because it kind of fishes very similar to what I'm used to back home.
Wow.
Not so much, you know, the way the bait fish sets up or anything like that, but just the techniques that I was using, you know, throwing the soft plastic jerk bait, that just fit right into my style. And I really throw that a lot around, you know, up north.
Yeah.
So with that bait, you know, I felt really comfortable. And then, you know, I was very fortunate to just get a few bites in practice and, you know, kind of dial me into that. Calm me down and allow me to commit to that pattern. And then once I caught some fish doing it, of course, you know, I'm very confident in it. And I just rolled with it the rest of the week.
So Lee, when you talk about practice, when you're leaving that practice, did you feel like you had a chance? Like, were the bites you were getting enough, you know, quality? Cause dude, they hammered them over there. Just like everybody hammers them on every lake. I feel like every tour goes to now. the check weights just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We actually talked about that Dudley and I on here last week. Like, dude, is fishing more competitive than ever? And I think it's fair to say, yes, it absolutely is. But those Lake Murray weights, I fished Murray a lot. I love that place, but those weights were just ridiculous, dude. As far as like deep into the field, but did you feel like you had a shot?
No, I definitely didn't think I'd have a shot to win. You know, I practice was all over the place, and really so was the tournament for most guys. I mean, you had bass still spawning, and you had a very few amount pre-spawn. You had fish spawning, garden fry, and then post-spawn fish that were moving out to the herring. And honestly, you know, I was doing a little bit of all of that in practice. You know, I was trying to keep my options open just in case one thing didn't work out, that I'd, you know, have something to fall back on, at least catch a limit, you know, stay consistent, get a check. So I gave myself the first morning of the tournament, I gave myself, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours to fish some herring stuff and fish some points. And I really was just shooting for 15 pounds a day. You know, I was just shooting to get a check. And, you know, after practice, I figured that'd be, you know, it'd be doable. I didn't think I'd go out and catch 21 the first day, that's for sure.
Pleasant surprise. And dude, when you're up there and you're in this field of Anthony Gagliardi's and yeah. Skeet Reese's, not to mention all the FLW guys that are just freaks of nature. But, you know, Gagliardi knows a thing or two about that lake. You know, it's his backyard. Did you think going into that day four when he had, because he had a rough first day, when he starts steadily climbing, then you're like, oh boy, because it's kind of in that I would have been freaked out knowing that he's lurking around, because dude, he is a closer, especially on that lake. We've seen it too many times.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really think about it at all. I wasn't worried about it at all, because, you know, I had a 7-pound lead going into it.
I was
calm as can be, and until we took off the final day, and then I made a few cycles through my areas, and I don't have a fish at, you know, 8:30, and there's nobody following me, so I knew somebody else was catching.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, I was like, this ain't good. You know, somebody's whacking on them, and it's probably Gagliardi, because he's been catching them stronger every day. So, you know, those thoughts were definitely in my head there mid-morning, but I finally, you know, finished out my limit probably around 11 o'clock, and that's when the weight of the world come off my shoulders.
I got you.
I knew I had, you know, 16 plus in the live well, and I was like, well, shoot, you'd have to catch 23 at this point. So
you're doing that math, and you're like, if he wins it, he wins it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, then I called up a few more times, and you know, I'm still doing the math in my head, and I got to where I figured he had to catch over 25, and I was like, well, yeah, like you said, if he beats me at that, you know, he deserves it for sure.
No doubt.
Whoever deserves it. You know, somebody catches over 25 on the final day when 22 was the biggest bag all week, then they definitely deserve it.
It was meant to be, but
yeah,
no doubt, dude. Well, let me ask you this. Did the boats ever come back when you caught your fifth one?
Oh, yeah.
Feel better, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, once I got my limit and started calling a couple times, there, you know, 10 spectator boat showed up, so I was like, okay, now we're back in business.
Dude, and you know, that's what's so funny about just pro fishing in general that I don't think folks understand. And we had an instance down at the MPFL where a young man got disqualified because he was asking a non-competitor how somebody was doing and what weight they – yeah. It was a bad deal, and Dudley and I were commentating it. But in these type events, you're not allowed to know. But at the same time, like what you're saying, in that situation, you know without asking. You can feel that, man.
You can feel it. You can feel that energy out there.
That's right.
Definitely. I mean, I would love to know. You know, I'd love to know what's going on out there. Just not so much to change what I'm doing, just to know.
See where you're stacking up.
Yeah. See how it's going.
That's right.
The fish are biting for everybody or just you or, I really like knowing what's going on.
Do you feel like in this five fish format, now that MLF owns it, they're big on the score tracker? It definitely has changed the game as far as the drama of it all and knowing. Do you think that would be something they might implement in the big five where know what everybody's got?
Yeah, I mean, I could see it happening, but I don't know how they could, get it to an even playing field. So that everybody knows.
That's true.
There's some events where we're a few marshals short or whatever. So
that's right.
They're out by themselves, and to have them go on their phone rather than have someone tell them, that gets into a gray area there.
Of course it does. And if a guy goes, this is 18 when he's got 25 because he's in the middle of 14 boats and he doesn't want them to know, that's where it's going to get weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know how they'd work that out, but. I mean, I would love to be able to know, that's for sure.
I think that, there's been a lot of talk after that MPFL deal down there about that rule. And it is in place, in my opinion, what the rule's always been about is to protect Matt Becker, right? You're leading. I'm a point, over from you. I see you over there, and you're lighting it up. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go over there, or I'm going to start there tomorrow, whatever. I mean, that's what – that rule's there to protect, I feel like. But at the same time, are we to a place in the sport where maybe we should just always know? Like, everybody should know. Like, does it make the coverage better? I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with it.
Well, it comes down to an integrity thing.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to trust the guys you're fishing against and so that they would not do that.
That's right. That's a great point.
Me personally, I take way too much pride in figuring out the fish myself.
No doubt. I
don't give a crap what anybody else is doing. I'd love to know, they've got a 20-pound bag and I'm sitting on 10 or whatever, but it's not like I'm going to go find them and look at what they're doing. I'm going to do my own thing and make my own adjustments.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to copy somebody else because that's just not how you do it.
No, it's not. It's not how anyone should do it. And I feel like, for me, it would be cool. I was thinking about in the open this week, because practice was tough on most guys, and Pickwick's where I'm from, and I'd kind of estimate, I'd take 18, 19 a day to win, which it was pretty close to that. But I day one, I'm sitting at 17, kind of late in the day, but I'm going, do I pull off of this? Right? You know what I mean?
You don't know.
And then you get in, and I'm 16th with 17 pounds, and 15 pounds is down to 50th. I'm like, would I have left that quicker and went to a couple of other spots on the way back down river. You know what I mean? How does that play into the strategy? And at the same time, if you're a head case, which I am, obviously, well documented on Low Budget Life, it could also screw you. Because if you're sitting on 12 pounds, you're like, I think it's just a tough day today. And then you look and you're 79th, you're going to be oh gosh. You're going to fish too fast. Some guys are, so there's definitely, pros and cons to it. But I think we're to a point where just send it. Let's just see what everybody's got.
Well, like you said, it's different for everybody. It takes the right train of thought and, definitely be able to shake it off if you're not doing
no well. Doubt about it, man.
This thing. So, it could definitely go both ways and spin people out or give them, big confidence boost, and then they make some right decisions and turn it into a great day.
No doubt about it, man.
But, that'd be cool. Definitely.
I think so. So something with you that to me has been, something that stood out about Matt Becker since everything in bass fishing kind of got crazy a couple of years ago, and is you have stuck with FLW. That's where your career started. Toyotas. Coming up through the tour, you made cups, and then when MLF bought them, you hitched onto that wagon and were like, I'm going to stay here. You embraced the format. You made the title event. Talk about that. I mean, because we've seen guys jump ship, obviously. I left. I made the decision to leave the tour and not come back. And obviously talk that to death. But you've been a guy. You're just a super positive guy anyways. But you're like, hey, man, this is where I'm at. And you seem to really be vying for that BPT bid. Talk about that. Why is FLW Matt Becker's home?
Well, yeah, definitely. That's where I got my start, so I'm a little partial to it. And I've definitely explored other options. You know, I fished the Bass Opens, in I think 2019, mm-hmm. and it just didn't feel right to me. You know, no shade at anyone.
Yeah, anything, absolutely.
But like it just, I don't know. I just didn't get good vibes from it. You know, it helps then that I didn't catch him, so I was just kind of annoyed with the whole thing, regardless. But I just didn't feel like home there. And then I go to a FLW or Major League Fishing event, and it's just a whole different vibe to me. You know, just me personally.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's no sooner than anyone, but it just felt right for me. So I just stuck with what felt right for me. And then, of course, you know, I'm partnered with Favorite and Dugan.
Absolutely.
And much involved in the Major League Fishing organization. So they're definitely steering me in that direction. And, of course, the end goal is to make them happy. So
of course.
That all plays into it.
Has it been, because that was something else I had on my little cheat sheet here to talk to you about, was your relationship with Favorite and Guggen. You know, these companies really were in that YouTube world, right? I mean, that's kind of where they were born from. Then we see them start get into pro fishing. And this is something I talk about on the show a lot that I'm just fascinated with it, because we have pro anglers wanting to be YouTubers now. We have YouTubers wanting to be pro anglers. And we have these companies that were like, oh, we're not going in the tournament market, that are now, Guggen Bates, who you were one of the first pros that I remember other than like Wheeler and Connell that were out there promoting them. You were one of the first that I remember seeing. Now they're involved in the pro fishing world is even more by sponsoring tournaments. Is that strange for you to see?
You know, it's crazy how things come full circle, for sure. You know, they get their start on one end and they end up on the other end. But I wouldn't say it's strange. You know, the fishing industry is so small.
Yes.
And
tiny.
Everything makes its way around.
I believe that's true. But, I've had several conversations with guys about this because, the pros were super against YouTube anglers in the beginning, and anyways, I've talked it ad nauseum on the show, but it is true. And now you see like FLW Big Five, MLFLW Big Five presented by Guggen. You're like, holy crap, this is a little weird, but you were one of the first. How long have you been with Favorite and Guggen? It's been like 3 years, right?
Yeah, this is my third year.
I gotcha. It's interesting, man, to see all the changes within the sport. And and how old are you, Matt, for the folks at home listening that don't know?
I'm 28.
So for all you at home that are like, yeah, man, I just wish I was better at catching bass. There's 28-year-olds out there kicking your butt, just in case you're wondering.
That's not true.
That's very true. I'm looking at these stats. It's impressive, man. So what do you guys have coming up next? Where's the next? So you'll get to fish a BPT now, right? Again, you already fished one, right? This year?
Correct.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Correct.
So, but you get to which event will you be at?
So, next up, Pro Circuit is on Lake Eufaula.
That's right.
A week and a half.
We get to
Lake Eufaula. And then the first week of June, I qualified for that Bass Pro Tour Stage 4 on Lake Chickamauga.
Ah, okay.
So, coincidentally happens to be my nemesis, so looking for a little revenge.
I think I remember you saying that the last time we were there. And the Tennessee River, it's funny that it is these historical, just amazing fisheries, but man, they do get some people's numbers. And I talked to several guys at this Bass Open about that. Like, it'll get in people's head a little bit. But dude, I have no doubt the role you're on, you're going to be just fine at Chickamauga. For the BPT, but very it's interesting how they're selecting those guys, but you're definitely one that's getting to take advantage of it.
For sure. Get to fish another tournament, so it's another shot at another $100,000 or another check for $10,000. So course I'm going to jump all over it.
Absolutely. What did you think, or what is your opinion overall, since you've been a five fish guy? That's how all of us kind of came up. What do you think about the format overall? Do you enjoy it?
Well, yes. Yeah. So we got to fish the title last year, and that was every fish count format. That was probably more of an experience with it than my Sam Rayburn experience, because Sam Rayburn, I only weighed 5 each day anyway.
It was tough. It was tough.
Well,
on you guys.
Over 2 pounds.
Yeah, you know, right, absolutely.
I was catching a bunch just under 2 pounds, but I only weighed 5 over 2 pounds each day anyway. So, you know, it didn't really get to experience the same. But the title last year, you know, we were catching, you know, 10, 15 fish, 20 fish a day. So, you know, you could really experience it, and it's a lot of fun. You know, it goes back to, like we were talking about, knowing what's going on. You know, it's such an adrenaline rush when you know you're in, you know, you're doing well. You're leading the field or in the top five or whatever, so you know you're doing the right thing. And it goes the opposite way when you're not catching them. You know, something's wrong and these guys are catching them. You need to change something up.
And those demons start to creep in.
That's probably my favorite part about it is really just knowing what's going on.
That's awesome, man. Well, dude, one thing's for sure. I think you're going to be just fine, and we're going to see a lot more W's from you as the years go on. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your Sunday afternoon. I know it was kind of last minute. I shot you a message this morning. I'm like, hey, dude, you want to do this? Because I had the open this week, and I'll be honest, I'm about as unprepared as I've ever been. I wanted to have you on after you won. I was like, hey, I'm going to reach out to Matt and see if he wants to come on this afternoon. So I appreciate it, dude, very much, and I wish you a lot of luck for the rest of the season.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Anytime you need someone to talk fishing, you know, I'm always
You're the man. Fishing, so. And when you're through this area down here, I'll have to get you in studio for one, and we'll go fish on some super secret little Tennessee lake one day.
I like that. Or how about this private pond you got?
Unfortunately, right now, all you're going to catch out of is really small bluegill, because that's all that's stocked in it. We the bass are on the way. We're supposed to get them in a few weeks, but we're still a little ways out. Yeah, we've got 100 F1 hybrids coming our way very, very soon. We're ready. We're waiting on them.
Well, I'd like to take my shot at about 27 of those 100.
Yes. Yeah. You need about 2 years on those, and then we're going to have a lot of fun, I have a feeling. They're going to be well fed.
That's awesome.
Yes, sir. It's going to be a lot of fun. We can do it one of these days, I promise you. I'll trade you a Lake Erie smallmouth trip for one of those.
Oh, yeah, you got it, for sure.
I'm game on. I like it. It's recorded right here, ladies and gentlemen, the Lowlifers. Y'all remind Matt about this all the time until it happens. So Luke Duncan is at Lake Erie catching big smallies with Matt Becker. All right, dude, I appreciate you.
All right, man, I'll talk to you.
All right, thank you, man.
See
ya. Matt Becker, right there, coming in hot on that LBL hotline and giving you the goods there. Fun conversation with Matt. Really enjoyed that. He is, like I said, a bright spot in this industry and in the pro angling world that's just coming up through the ranks, man. Coming up through the ranks, did it the right way, BFLs, Toyotas, all that. Now a big win in just like his fourth year. It's crazy. It's crazy. The young guys are taking over. I feel like an old – look at this gray. Look at this gray right here. I feel like an old man talking to these guys. Hey, I'm 28. What? My 37, almost 38-year-old self. Thank y'all so much, man. Thank y'all for listening. It is it's my pleasure to get to do this for y'all every single week. Hope you enjoy it, and just having a good time. Just having a good time right now. I talked to Swindle yesterday afternoon. He called me about some things, and he said, you know, Darkness, I think just looking at your post and seeing everything, like, you're having fun right now in life. It's like you're having a good time. Like, the MPFL thing's going good for you, and just fishing these opens. He said, I'm just seeing you smile a lot, and it was cool hearing that from G, and he said he was proud to see that I was that happy. And it is, man. We got things going, you know, pretty freaking good right now. And I'm a proud low lifer with all of y'all. And this is a lot of fun. So as we end every show every week, make sure you hug your mama. Absolutely. Make sure you do that. I miss mine every single day. I really missed her this week. Lots of butterflies flying around Pickwick like this week during that open. And it was... you know, I never seen one. I'll say, hey, mama, Hey, mama, every time. But my boys got to come down and walk across the Bassmaster stage with me. And the last Bassmaster I ever fished, obviously, they weren't anywhere near. They weren't even a thought at that time in my life. And very cool having Hudson. He was like carried my weigh-in bag on day two. And they got to come down there and be a part of it. So it was super special. Super, super special. And definitely miss seeing her smiling out there. One of the last Bassmasters that I ever went to, and this is why, going back to earlier in the show when I was talking about Colton's mom driving him, my mom rode with me to a Bassmaster Open in Catskill, New York one time. 19-hour drive from home. And I was 20 years old, and she didn't want me to drive by myself. So funny. And I was like, I got it. I've been driving all over the country, you know, for a couple years there as a kid, and she didn't want me to. She rode. We had a road trip. So we road tripped from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee to Catskill, New York, me and my mama. And still got a picture from that weigh-in and those weigh-ins. And I made the cut up there, made the cut at the Hudson River. Woo Dave's won that term, as a matter of fact. But back in 2002, I guess. Holy cow, long time ago. But so it was, you know, it was a heavy week and full of just lots of smiles and some chills when you'd see those butterflies out there on the lake. But it was awesome. It was an awesome week. And like I said, just want to say once again, thank y'all for all the support on this show. But, you know, during the tournament week, it was really special. It was really special and looking forward to the next one. Very much so. Going to take y'all out with Biloxi Blues. And I'm going to see y'all next week for more Low Budget Live. See y'all next time.
I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. And I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to